that was called The Lydian Express by Mark Lewis. Our special guest, he's in the studio with Rhonda. And we are going to be talking to Mark in just a moment. Let me tell you, you are listening to WXOJLP 103.3 FM, Northampton, streaming live at streaming live online at valleyfreeradio.org. And Mark is going to be playing 7:30 tonight at the City Sports Grill, which is on Route 9 on the way out of town. And just a heads up to everyone, my guests got stuck in the horrid traffic there. And, you know, that's where the gig is tonight. It's right there. You went right by it. You were probably stalled in traffic right by there. Anyway, they're doing a lot of construction. Hopefully by 7:30 they'll have loosened it up a little bit. But do go prepare to be delayed a little bit. So anyway, that's the station ID. And I think I'm going to jump into the interview. 1 second. Yes. Let's see if I can get Mark on. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hey, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Mark Lewis is our guest, and I got a little few notes here to run by you. We interviewed last year, about a year ago, when I was at UMass on my way out. That's a whole saga. We won't go into that. And that
saga.
So you were the last person that I interviewed live at WMUA in my 12 years there. So
that's an honor.
Well, yeah, it was great to have you. And a native of Washington State, Tacoma. Were you born in Tacoma?
Yeah, I was born in Tacoma.
And you did spend a lot of time. Yeah. Still, where do you live now? Still in the Northwest?
Yeah, Seattle area.
But
yeah,
you're back there. You've lived elsewhere quite a bit through your long years. Your many years.
Yeah, I'm back there. I've lived in San Francisco's a town that I call home, and I lived in Victoria, Canada for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And Holland in Rotterdam.
For many years.
Yeah, for 14 years, off and on. I mean, I would go back and forth between there and the United States because I owned a record company called Audio Daddio.
Oh, that was over there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we had an office in Seattle too.
And at some point, I read on your, I guess your Facebook or your website about having three different groups while you were in Holland, a kind of neo-bop experimental type group, and then a organ trio, and a kind of an internationalist kind of group with different world quote unquote music.
Yeah, the International Quartet. Yeah, we had a conga player from. She was playing bass. That's right. She was from Suriname, South America, and then we had her name was Henny Funk, still is. Asad Oberoi was playing the djembe. He's from Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
And see here, we had Tontor Beg was the drummer, and of course he was from Holland with a name like that. He could have been from South Africa with a name like that. Let's see, who else do we have? John Butler was on guitar. He was from the United States. Do you know John?
No.
Oh
no,
yeah, he's really good. In fact, he was good friends with Essiet, and I met Essiet through John, and this group on the album now I met through Essiet. So
okay, I was going to ask how you hooked up with them.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I went down to Vanguard and Essiet was playing, and I said, "Well, let's make an album if you like my music." And we gave them some material, and they listened to it. They said, "Yeah, let's do one." That was it.
So you did a 5-hour recording session.
Yeah, 5 hours.
And nailed all these 11 tracks.
Yeah.
Well, probably more. No,
we did 11, and most of them were one take, maybe two.
Yeah.
I don't like to do too much, too many takes in the studio, and 5 hours is a long time.
That's a long time, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, you know, I mean, 3 hours, take a break, do another couple hours. That's what we did. During the break, I did the flute introduction to Cohen, which is the first thing you hear
on
the album. And then we were going to have Mike Renzi do the production, but Tony Bennett called him at the last minute. And he works for Tony and Lady Gaga as the musical director, so he had to go there, and he plays piano too. So that was too bad because he and I get along real well. In fact, I'll be playing with him in Rhode Island.
Next?
Yeah, I think it's next. Rhonda knows my schedule better than I. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
What do you know?
Who are you playing with there?
It was supposed to be Dick Lupino, who arranges my gigs in Rhode Island, but he's having surgery, so we wish him the best during surgery in Boston. So let's see here. We must have Alan.
Do we have Alan on bass?
Yeah. So we have Alan Bernstein on bass. Have you ever heard him?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's really great.
Is he from Providence or somewhere like that?
I think he's from Newport, but I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In fact, that's where we're playing is Newport, at Sardella's. That was the first gig I had when I started playing on the road again on the East Coast years ago. I guess it's 4 years ago now, and Mike was on the gig. And, well, you know, you ever get together with a musician, you just go, wow, you know, everything just meshes and you really play off of each other. That's how Mike and I were. And so he always tries to get at least one performance with me, or, you know, makes room for one performance at Dick Cook's so that we can do something together. So they're really, I'm quite honored to have that happen, because, you know, he used to be the musical director of Sesame Street too, now that I think about it. He did all the music for Sesame Street, so, and I think, you know, that was quite an achievement, because it's so universal, the music that he made, I mean, that was half the show was the music, when you think about it, you know, Sesame Street.
Yeah. Did you have any previous connection with Victor Lewis or George Cables?
George, I used to listen to quite a bit on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And so he has one of my books, which was called Jazz Alphabet.
Huh.
Yeah, I write a lot of music, so... I said, well, why not write a book called The Jazz Alphabet, and I would put a name after every letter. It's like A is for Anton, and B is for Bart, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that way I can write these songs for different people, because I try to make each song have its own personality, and so it sometimes helps when you're thinking of a person to you just think, oh, I bet you that this would be kind of nice, because really you can write anything. I mean, you have infinity to work with. You're just taking pieces out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way I look at it. Like, that's the name of my, I guess it's a book now. There's 1,700 compositions in it or something like that. Rhonda just keeps putting more in for me. That's my helper. And she books all the gigs. But it's called Pieces of Infinity.
Wow.
So
1,700 pieces. Wow.
Yeah, I usually write them when I'm not working, you know, so you can tell that I have gone periods without work.
I know that in your bio that I looked at yesterday, I guess, that when you were on the West Coast, up and down the coast years ago, I guess before you resettled in the Northwest again, you played with a lot of people, including Bobby Hutcherson.
Yes, I was really sad to hear that.
You did hear the news.
Yeah, I heard it through Ted Gioia.
Okay.
In fact, Ted is the one that put us together on this album.
Yes, he does the notes,
He does notes too on the new album.
Yeah.
He's a fine writer. He's written many books. Have you read any of his material?
I read one of them. I don't know which one. Anyway, yeah, I know of his work.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, I like his writing. He was my producer when I lived in San Francisco, And, well, what I was doing was, when I came back from Europe in the United States, came back to the United States, I should say, I was shocked at all the people that were homeless, who were homeless.
Oh.
They were, it was just something that, if you've lived in Europe for that long, you're not used to it.
Yeah.
And it bothered me, and there'd be whole families, mothers and children in tents at the Civic Center in San Francisco. And I thought, well, I can't. I've got to do something about this. So what I would do is I would, every Sunday, I'd go out and pass out handheld or handmade bags of food. You know, I'd put in sandwiches and just anything you could just eat. And I'd try to make it as balanced as you could. And I'd always put a little dessert in there too. You know, I'd go and buy it at the stores. And sometimes I'd get some hambaos, you know, from Chinatown and put those in. And then I'd go and spend time with everybody and I'd eat with them. And then the police decided that that was a good idea to stop me because somehow I was breaking some rule. I don't know what. There are so many laws these days. You have to be a lawyer to know what law you're breaking. In fact, you know. But
I've heard of that law that it's illegal to hang out with homeless people to feed them.
Oh,
something.
Wow!
I think that's elsewhere in the United States.
Oh, wow!
It's pretty.
It's mind-boggling, you know. I don't understand who makes these laws, but I hope that they will understand one day that, you know, we're trying to help everybody. But what I'm trying to say is that this bothered me so much that this law happened that I kind of decided to stop playing music professionally. And I decided to devote my life for about a year to play on the streets with the homeless, the saxophone. And what I'd do is I would stay in downtown hotels. They used to have them in those days where you could jump from town to town. You know, they were for the workers and also people that live downtown. Now, of course, the real estate is so expensive that these downtown hotels are gone, so that's impossible. But then I would go from Seattle to Portland, San Francisco, to Monterey, I'm not Monterey, but Santa Cruz, all different places, go up to Vancouver, just with my saxophone, and I play on the streets,
wow.
And I did that 5 days a week, and I got really good at it, sometimes six. I'd always take Sunday off for myself and get out of the city to get a little break and explore the nature or whatever was around that area, you know, because there's always mass transit out somewhere. And I would make a lot of money. The hotels, believe it or not, that I stayed in were, the cheapest I remember was $42 a week in Portland on Burnside. It was not the greatest place in the world, but it was safe.
Yeah.
And the bathroom down the hall.
What era are we talking about?
We're talking about the 80s, the early 80s.
Early 80s.
Well, maybe about 85 or something.
Uh-huh.
Let's see, I recorded, I always go by the albums.
Uh-huh.
So I think I put out, Philly Joe Jones was 86, and then I stopped.
Okay.
And then I came back to the United States, so it was 87 or so, something like that around there. And so this was a weekly rate. Bathroom down the hall, but it was clean, and I made $150 a day. So that means that I had at least $100 a day every week, so $500 a week to be able to give to the homeless, and I just go around handing out money.
Wow.
And it was just,
for you.
It was wonderful, and I did that for a year. I'd give a $100 bill to a mother in a tent with her kids, and she would start crying. I'd say, here, you go to the hotel. Sorry. Sorry, that's embarrassing. I'd say, go to the hotel and take this $100 bill. And she would start crying because she could bathe, sleep for one night in bed with her kids and wow. get them clean again.
Wow.
You know, yeah, it was just, it was very rewarding. Well, then after a while, I got, the police started hassling me and again, and made me stop in a lot of places. And it, the hotels went up and up and up, and it got so expensive to stay there. And then finally, that was not, it, just in 1 year, it doubled in price, and then the hotels wouldn't stop existing. And so I got a contract offer from Ted Gioia, and I think I was in Vancouver or Victoria or somewhere like that. And I was looking through all the cards that people give you when you're playing on the street. So I was looking through, and it says, please call me for an audition for a new a record company. So I said, oh, okay. So I called him. I said, well, I'm up in Canada right now. He said, well, you can take the plane down and I'll pay for everything. And then you come and audition. So I did. And auditioned by playing three numbers with Ted. Ted played the piano in his little house that at the time his girlfriend, Louise, a really nice lady, let us use for the audition site. And so I played, I can't remember, I think Softly in the Morning Sunrise or something else. And then the judge said, can you play a ballad? And I said, yeah, I'll try a ballad. So we played In a Sentimental Mood. And he said, well, maybe I should be playing on the streets. I said, what? I said, do you play sax? And he said, yeah, I play sax. I said, well, what's your name? He said, my name's Stan Getz.
Oh, really?
I said, oh, that's what I said. Oh, really? Thanks for waiting to tell me. I don't do that well under pressure. Like, I mean, that's, you know, that's too much for me.
Yeah.
I just could, I you know, so I got lucky. But the funny thing is that, you know, I still have the idea in this world of make, well, this is another reason I got off. My friend Nick Leiser said, Mark, your music needs to be heard. You've got to get off the streets, you know. I said, well, why are you on the streets, Nick? He was a great violin player. He says, well, I can make the violin sing. That's what I'm good at, and that carries well on the streets. But you have to get off the streets so that people can hear your music. And I respected Nick a lot. And he and Mike Mack and a lot of other people in San Francisco were like a family to me. Miriam Melman, just great people. Every time I came through the town, it was like coming back to see family. So so they say, yeah, Mark, you have to get off the streets. Sorry, you have to get off the streets because we want you to play music for people. You were very proud of you. And so I said, okay, I'll get off the streets. Because I was turning down, club owners would come up and ask me, oh, you want to play in a club? You know, I said, no. Actually, that was a really good feeling.
To be able to say no.
Yeah. But, you know, now, of course, I am trying to play as much as I can. And what I want to do is try to make the world a better place through the music without talking about politics, without doing anything but showing. I think that it's important. My grandfather was from Missouri, and he always said, that's the show me state. You can talk all you want, but I want to see what you're going to do. I want you to show me. And so that's something, you know. Words are a dime a dozen, really.
Right. But bring the music into...
Bring the music in there and let it affect people. And I firmly believe that this country has enough intelligence and heart and soul to understand jazz and make it a popular music again, a very popular. And I believe that my music can do that because I don't forget the audience. And if they can listen to some of the stuff I've heard out there, if kids can listen to jazz and jump around and dance before they get corrupted with, I don't like that, then I think we can too, as a whole country. And it's just a shame that this country is so vast and beautiful with so many diverse people in it, negates jazz to an extent, and doesn't think that they can understand it, or doesn't think that it's their music, because it is their music, and all they have to do is be open and well, let me put it this way. He was my teacher in the school I went to, one of the music conservatories I went to. Actually, it was a university, Western Washington State University in those days. His name was Americole Biasini, and he said something. He said, people always say they like what they know. They know what they like. I'm sorry, I did it wrong. There we go. They say they know what they like, but it's really they like what they know.
Yes. Well, that's, yeah, I've read something about that, not last year, something about the vast majority of people only like to listen to, who listen to music at all, only like to listen to music that they really know well. They're not open to listening to something they haven't heard before or have to, I don't know, open their minds and ears to. So it's a narrow spectrum in that way, and it's driven by a lot of that. What they hear is totally driven. If they listen in public media, it's all driven by corporate producers and what they put out there, and you know, that's,
yeah, that's right.
It's a narrow kind of world.
It gets narrow, and people as a result are you notice that music has become second place sometimes, I mean, as a whole in people's priority list.
Well, yeah, like in public schools, for instance, if they're doing cuts, what's the first thing that gets cut? The arts.
That's right. That's hard because this is so important for people's brains as they're maturing.
Yes.
And figuring out with which paths to take inside the brain. Music is something. It's a gift. It's the voice of the soul of humanity, I think. And to negate that will negate our. It's going to cut something off. And as you can see, things are not as soulful as they can be these days.
Yeah.
And we're going to politics.
We won't go into that. We know what we're talking about.
We know what we're talking about.
We think, anyway.
Yeah, right. We know what we like.
Enough said. Right. Well, look, I thought we might try to do about a half an hour or so. And we're getting close to the 30-minute mark.
Oh,
I loved listening to you talk, so I'm conflicted, but
I'd rather have you listen to the music.
Okay, well then, and I'll be hearing you tonight, and I'll bring my alto, and we'll figure out something to play at some point.
All right,
just not Donald Lee.
No, we'll figure.
Play that with some. One young man has been playing a lot there. He sits in, and sometimes he's featured.
Oh,
and,
yeah, I know that guy. He was there last year, right?
Might be. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
Dan.
I like, yeah.
Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Really good player. He would play Donald Lee.
We'll do Donald Lee then.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll, you and I'll. Softly as in the Morning.
Oh, that'll be nice.
That's
that'll
a nice
be
one.
Really nice.
That one I can handle.
All right.
So, did I want to ask you? Well, that's good. I think the listening audience has gotten a good flavor of you. You're a very special person, I think, and you put that across, that who you are. And I remember last year at the, what was it called, the Clarion, your performance was wonderful, and what you said between tunes was really wonderful, and people really listen. You always have something very cogent to say.
Thank you. I'll try to keep it short. Because, you know, that hour goes pretty fast.
Oh, it goes fast. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to have some.
Do you want to draw? Well, let's say, why don't we wrap up, actually, because it's 25 after, and I used to do a 3-hour show, now I'm doing 2-hour show, and it goes really fast.
Yeah.
So this was, I kind of put this aside, but I'm so happy you got here and got through the traffic horrors.
Thanks to Rhonda. Rhonda's driving, because I can't drive, of course, I'm completely blind.
They're doing a roundabout there. So eventually, it'll help.
It'll really be confusing.
Yeah, that's right. Let's see, what does that yield sign really mean? Do I yield what? Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Let's see. I played Lydia Express last week. What would you like to hear from this?
Let's see here.
I played Roland Joe a couple weeks ago when I first got this.
Oh, yeah, that's a left. I like that one, yeah.
And Tom Reedy on public radio, he played, what did he play last night? He played a couple, I'm trying to remember. I think he played Roberta's Magic World.
Oh, yeah.
Child's Play.
Oh, Child's Play,
that's
yeah.
That's a sweet one. I like that.
Yeah,
one.
I like that. That's fun to play. There's a flute piece on there, too.
Oh,
that's
cool.
That's the first one.
Are you going to bring your flute tonight?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, that's dedicated to the Fukushima 50, the people that shut down the Fukushima power plant.
Yes,
That might be kind of, I don't know, it's pretty soft and quiet, if you played, are you just going to play one?
I can play two.
Oh, okay, then just play the first two then.
Oh, okay.
Of the album, that'll be fine.
Calling and Child's Play.
That's easy.
Okay, all right, let me see.
I'm all about having things go as simply and easily and carefree as possible, you know. There's enough to confuse us.
Yes, hang on. Okay, we're going to listen to special guest Mark Lewis with George Cable's Essay and Essay. And Victor Lewis on piano, bass, and drums, from the New York session, and this on the Audio Dadio. So this is your label.
Well, yeah, it's not mine anymore.
Okay. I love that title, that name.
I have a big hand. I still record and do a lot of stuff.
You'll have these for sale tonight.
Yes.
Got a bunch. Yeah. Great. And
you can't buy them. I'm sorry to interrupt. You can't. Actually, this is a pre-release sale, so they won't be released until on the radio stations, really, until January by everything. So
okay.
So this is kind of special.
That's great. That's great. And of course, these days you can't go to your local record CD store because there ain't any to speak of.
Yeah.
There's one place in town, two places in Northampton now, I guess, where you can get used CDs and LPs and so on. And one place does carry some new releases, but not jazz type music at all. They just have pop and whatnot. But so great, a pre-release, and it won't get you in trouble with them.
I don't know. I'm just gonna add
with your own company.
Is that it? Oh, good. Yeah. What I'm supposed to say. About marklewismusic.com. That's my website.
Okay.
If I can, I've already. Oh.
Don't say that.
Oh, okay. All right.
marklewismusic.com. Thanks, Mark. No,
thank
that's
you.
Fine. You got to put it out there. And I'm forgetting what site I was on. I must have been on that site. I just put in Mark Lewis saxophone and Googled it. And there you came up.
Oh, well, what do you know?
Yeah, there you were. You're all over the place, actually.
Good.
And your books, there's a one. Anyway, let's listen to these two tracks. The first one, Mark will be on flute. Is it a regular, what's a regular flute?
It's a soprano flute. Yeah.
Soprano flute. That's the common one, right?
That's the common one.
The alto is a little bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
You play that too?
I do play it. It's in G, but I don't have one right now.
Okay. Did you just bring the flute and the alto tonight?
The planes used to let me bring more, but they've cut back. You know, they want to keep the music pure, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you're able to get to most, well, you won't get to 11 tunes tonight, but I hope you can just stick with these.
But yeah, we're going to play those tunes, a lot of them. In fact, we played Roberto's Magical World the other day on a gig that I had in Great Barrington.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was just a bass drum trio with the sax. And we had John Fisher and George Kay on those.
Oh, really?
We had a lot
there.
Of fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So they know your tunes, and Paul will pick it right up. Are you going to be able to have a quick rehearsal tonight?
Well, we'll probably have a sound check. I'm not sure yet. We're going to find out. But some of those tunes we played last year, so hopefully they'll remember. And I write stuff that's really quite accessible as far as not having to work to look at it. I try to make a four-bar phrase and not split three on the top line and put one down on the bottom, you know.
Right, right. So. All right, so let's start with Kung and with the dedication to Mishima, the people who put themselves at considerable risk to go in and
yeah, they helped us all, didn't they?
Boy, they did. Well, this is the world we're living in with the nuke sites. Now, we could go on and on.
Yeah,
we'll go there.
Now,
we'll go into politics.
We'll let the music open our minds.
Yes. And then the second one is Child's Play. Save briefly, Child's Play is just...
It's just kind of a Neil Bob type of thing that's fun to play. And, you know, Ted Joy put the liner notes in the album, and he's a fine writer. And so I asked him to put the songs in order because... it's hard to produce your own albums, even though I've done a lot. You know, I'd rather have somebody else do that. Ted's done such a good job for me.
Okay. Well, Mark, I want to thank you very much. We'll wrap this up, and I'll play the tunes, and then I'll go into I'll have to make a quick break and play a couple of public service announcements afterwards.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure.
Rhonda, thanks. Yep. All right. Here we go. Numbers on WXOJ on Fresh Sounds.